Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The USFL Gambling Podcast. Next to head coaches and some of the USFL rules episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, Arizona, and coming soon to Louisiana. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today. Bet $10 and get $200 in free bets. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $15,000 with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com and get started today. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy, B-E-T-T-O-R, fantasy.com/SGPN. We're also brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below the belt grooming. Head over to manscaped.com. Use that promo code SGP for 20% off your first order and free shipping. We're also brought to you by the SGPN app. Yes, don't forget to download the SGPN app. You're home for all of our free picks and podcasts. It is free to download in the App Store and Google Play Store. So grab it and let it ride.
This is Jim Mora, and you're listening to SGPN.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive, it did.
Welcome to the USFL Gambling Podcast. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dad, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Yes, yes, yes. USFL. We've got two more coaches named, and they had a press release in Birmingham, Alabama. We also have some rules for here for all of that, I should say. We got my co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. Give it up for the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh.
And third man in the booth. Give it up for the DFS God himself, the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
The mustache wearing
people.
What's going on, guys?
We got to set up the video so people can see that mustache. You look like you're a fucking Clue character right now. You know what I mean? I got NC Nick in the ballroom with the USFL trophy. All right, how about that?
I was going more like 1985, like dirty cop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You look like Emilio Estevez in Stakeout.
That's a fucking throwback right there.
You look like that.
Well, you know, the wife hates it, but I think I might, just because she hates it, I think I might continue to wear it.
You look like do you remember that guy that kind of looks like, you look like a mixture of Vinny Del Negro and that cop in Police Academy 5.
No, I'm looking at your picture.
That cop, it's like every character's a cop in Police Academy 5. I'm a fucking idiot. But yes.
You know, maybe my wife hates it because she knows the kind of attention I'm going to get from other ladies out there. True. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why.
I'm sure actually, that's it. You look like a fucking like a pitcher now. Every pitcher's wearing some type of facial hair in the MLB. Oh, but guess what? We're not going to have the MLB because the USFL is going to be thriving because
boom,
baseball is going to be on strike because their players think they deserve more money.
Too big for their britches.
Well, that's what's classic with the guaranteed contracts, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But it's like no one watches your sport. You're paying these athletes, quote unquote athletes, $200 million contracts. What was it? Chris Davis made like $200 million. He batted like 120, right? It
guaranteed contracts. It
was guaranteed. No one watches the fucking sport. So the owners aren't making any money. It's pretty classic.
$161 million over 7 years for Chris Davis.
It's horrible too.
Good God.
Horrible. And you wonder, and the XFL was getting better ratings in the fucking Major League Baseball. Like Sunday Night Baseball, XFL was beating Sunday Night Baseball. So USFL is going to do that. How about that announcement? How about that? Since the first time since Super Bowl one, guys, that NBC and Fox will be airing Week 1, Game 1, New Jersey Generals at the Birmingham Stallions. Well, I guess all the games are in Birmingham, but that is Game 1. Both primetime networks will be airing it.
Wow.
The first
Super
time,
Bowl one.
That's the last time Super Bowl one. They
had
put
two primetime networks airing.
Yes,
and
wow. Look how it worked out for them.
That's an agree.
So, I want to know like who's announcing.
Well, I can tell you this. I think it's going to be Gus Johnson because I know
I'll be watching that one.
Well, I believe he was in. He was tied to it. I don't think it's official yet. And I've seen Tim Brando. Pushing it on Twitter as well.
Right.
So I would assume them, maybe Joel Klatt, maybe Brock.
Isn't Brando a CBS guy?
No, I think he's Fox now. He used to be CBS.
Okay.
He used to be CBS. So that's pretty big time news though. I mean, I can tell you that that's going to really help.
That's insane. Two network television stations the four are going to be
the NBC. NBC lost the NHL to ESPN. So they have nothing going on
to compete with it.
I mean, they made a deal with fan controlled football before they did USFL because they were searching for anything.
Yeah.
So they do have fan controlled football as well. But pretty revealing.
Is that good or bad? Or I mean, I guess it can't hurt.
What do you mean? That's great.
Well, I guess like viewers will be split between the two stations, but it doesn't matter because I mean, obviously you can total both of them up to find out how many people are watching the sport.
I think the thing you want right now is awareness.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great. That's a great first situation there, I would say.
But, yeah, I think so.
But I mean, look, they announced. I don't know if you guys saw this press conference. It was going on while you know work was going on for a lot of you guys. But Skip Holtz was there. They had the mayor of Birmingham. They said they had the fucking horse dressed up with the USFL banner on him. That was amazing.
That is a classy horse.
That, I mean, come on. Didn't that make you think of Last Boy Scout? Remember that movie, Last Boy Scout? He rides the horse.
Well, that's old school too. Cause didn't they have the horse back in the '80s also?
Yeah. Yeah. They had it back.
So they're already starting to do what Patty C wanted when we talked last week.
And
about bringing back some of that '80s charm to it, bringing like you know, relishing in the history of, you know, when they, the first 3 years they were in existence 30 or, you know, however many years ago. So they're already playing into that. So I know at least Patty's got to be happy.
Boom.
Yeah. To me, you get the horse going.
Yeah.
More of that.
Are off.
More of that on the side. It's like the Cincinnati Bengals used to have that cool ass tiger on the sidelines. Now they don't have it.
Right.
What's going on? Well,
we love college football. College football, they got, you know, Ralphie the Buffalo at Colorado. Yeah. They got the Bulldog at Georgia. Bring some of that. That's fun. That's, I mean, that's what makes every location unique.
There's so much to work with. There's like the football, the helmet, the helmet cars,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Having the players run out of the helmets.
Oh,
the cars in the end zone.
Please bring back the helmet cars. Right. On the sidelines and the random car in the end zone.
Right.
I want that Cadillac, that van or Cadillac that just sits in the back of the Pittsburgh Steelers end zone. Yeah. Can you bring that back?
The winning quarterback should get that card. Whoever the team yes. MVP is, right?
All on board.
Dude, that's a big deal for XFL players too. I mean, that's
USFL, USFL, buddy.
I'm sorry. USFL players, whatever, but yeah, do that, man. Have a little fun with it.
Yeah. 100%, man. And I think that's what is so exciting about this league. They announced also people under 15 years old get in free. I like that angle.
Wow.
City of Birmingham. I think we might have to go out there for some games.
Doing it for the kids,
doing it for the kids. Trick love the kids. They announced since our last episode, they announced also two brand new head coaches. The Pittsburgh Maulers, NC Knicks team, hired Kirby Wilson. Kirby Wilson, born and raised in LA, not far from us currently, played college ball with the Illini in the 80s, and then went on to play in the CFL as a player for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Toronto Argonauts. And then he became a coach, started out back in LA, Pasadena Community College, then Los Angeles Southwest Community College. Pretty sure they don't play football there now. It's a damn shame what's going on. But anyway, then he went to Southern Illinois as a linebackers coach and a defensive coordinator. Then he went to Wyoming, where I want to say he was there with Joe Tiller, if my history is correct. Then he went to Iowa State. He was at Iowa State. He was the running backs coach for Troy Davis when he ran for over 2,000 yards with the Cyclones.
Nice look.
He then went to the New England Patriots from 97 to 99. I'm trying to think if that's the Pete Carroll era or is that a mixture of, I'm not sure if that's Carroll or, then he went to the Washington Redskins. Yes.
That was pre Super Bowl Belichick years.
Yeah. He went to the Washington Redskins. Yeah, I think that was Pete Carroll in New England. He went to the Redskins in 2000. That was still Norv Turner, I believe, right, Nick?
Oh, geez, man, are you really putting me on?
If you had to guess, I think I want to say Spurrier or Schottenheimer came in
slightly after that.
Oh, yeah. One, I want to say.
Sounds about right.
Then he was with USC in 2001 with Pete Carroll. Then he went to
maybe he's following Pete Carroll a little bit. So maybe that was the coach in New England there.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was.
Well, let me tell you what. Yeah. Wherever this guy goes, championships follow shortly thereafter. New England in the late 90s,
USC,
not the Redskins. Okay.
But
USC.
USC in 2001, didn't they? Was that the year that
No, like 2004 was their first national championship.
No, but they had one that was a bullshit year that Carson they should have won a national championship.
That was Carson Palmer's senior year. That was 2003.
In my mind, they were just as, once again, this is the flaw in the college football system, because they had the same record as the team that won the national championship and didn't play for the national championship. But then he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2002 to 2003. I want to say that's Gruden.
Yeah. And he won a Super Bowl there.
Then Arizona Cardinals 04 to 06.
I feel like they went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That might've been a little later.
Then the Pittsburgh Steelers so he's back in Pittsburgh where, you know, he was a Steelers coach from 07 to 2013. Then he went to the Minnesota Vikings, the Cleveland Browns, and back to the Cardinals.
A bit of a rough patch.
Then the Oakland Raiders / Las Vegas. And now the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Let me tell you what about a glass ceiling, though. This guy's been stuck as a running backs coach since 1995. 27 straight years as a running backs coach. Finally gets a head coach gig.
Hey, but look, he's coached defense, linebackers, receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs in his career. I mean, you're qualified.
You are qualified.
Well, here's what I like. I like the fact that he's been a running back coach for a long time and also a DC for a couple of years. That fits with the Pittsburgh Maulers. Run the football, play strong defense. I think it's a perfect fit. Obviously, you're a little bit worried he has zero head coaching experience. Sure, but give the man a chance.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Here's
run the damn
I
ball.
Think he's going to run with it.
And then the Birmingham Stallions went out and hired my boy, my boy. I can remember it like it was yesterday when East Carolina knocked off Virginia Tech, blocked a punt to win the game. Virginia Tech was top 10. And then like a week later, we beat a like a top 10 or top 15 West Virginia team that had Pat White. And that is my guy, Skip Holtz, head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. Look, Skip Holtz is a winner. There's no way. There's no other way to cut it. He shouldn't have been fired from Louisiana Tech, if you ask me. You look at his coaching record. This guy, first off, he's coached as an assistant. Obviously, he played at wide receiver at Notre Dame in, for his dad back in 1986. He was a GA at Florida State with one Bobby Bowden. Wide receiver coach at Colorado State with Sonny Lubick. Then Notre Dame's wide receiver coach and then OC, obviously, with Lou Holtz. Then he went to UConn and he had great success at UConn, and they were in the FCS at the time. If you have success at UConn, you're a good coach. Then he goes to South Carolina, where his dad was a coach. He was assistant head coach OC. They had success. Actually, that's the first coach that brought South Carolina football back. People think right. Spurrier took it to the next level. Lou Holtz was the first. Then he went to East Carolina, where he was the head coach of the Pirates. And let me tell you, at East Carolina, this guy was he's a winner. He took over a program that John Thompson had ruined, a former Florida defensive coordinator. He's 5-6 in year one. Then 7-6, then 8-5, then 9-5, 9-5. Then he leaves for South Florida. At South Florida, I thought he deserved one more year because in year one, he goes 8-5. Year two, 5-7. Okay, wheels are falling off. 3-9. But if you gave him one more year, I think they would have been bowling. If you remember what the coach that came in after him, I think it was that Charlie Strong? No. Somebody before it was Willie Taggart that had success, I think, in year one. Then he goes to La Tech, and after starting out 4-8 in year one at Louisiana Tech, he proceeds to go to what is this? 7 straight bowl games, and then last year they have a 3-9 record.
Yeah,
he gets fired for two losing seasons in what, 9 years?
And in those bowl games, he's 6-1 in those bowl games. In 2019, he goes 10-3. I mean, this is a Louisiana Tech program that had never done anything before, really.
Yeah.
Well, so that's
his father finding out that he got fired.
Right. He definitely deserved more time there. So my only question is, are you concerned that he's only coached at college, never coached professionals or grown men ever?
No, not concerned at all. I mean, look, he's a winner. All right. He's going to be dedicated to winning, and that's what he's going to do.
Let me ask you this. What do you think the average age of a player in the USFL is going to be compared to that of like the NFL?
Well, they said they're going to go for college players too.
You would think,
yeah.
You know, it's probably going to take on in the first year, a developmental league kind of feel. You know, they don't have the gajillions of dollars that they had back in the '80s for contracts, I don't think. So they're going to have to pay them a little less, which means, you know, maybe they'll get some old guys that are trying to get back in the league, but mostly I would think it would be younger guys, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you guys think Holtz is the better hire because we know more as of him as a head coach, but overall, I think both hires will fit. What do you think?
I would be lying if I said I had a lot of knowledge about, was it Kirby?
Kirby Wilson.
Wilson. I'm not going to lie. I've been tracking his career super closely, but Skip Holtz is a winner. Like you said, yeah. 14 out of 22 years, a winning record. And then one 500
wrongfully years, so. fired. So we had Mike Pereira on a podcast recently where he was talking about the rules. Before I get to Pereira's comments, we have two open positions still, the Michigan Panthers and the New Orleans Breakers.
Yeah. Let me interject real quick. Yeah. Sorry. Average age in the NFL, I just looked, is 26 years old, with the range of the teams going from 25.5 to 27.3 years old. Skip Holtz has been dealing with 18 to 22 year olds. 26 years old is not that much different. I think he'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think so too. Well, I mean, George Allen, back when he coached, the NFL average was up like to 34.
Oh, he brought it up to 34 himself. But.
George Allen, former USFL head coach of the Chicago Blitz. So New Orleans Breakers, Michigan Panthers out there. We were hoping for Paul Johnson to Pittsburgh. That didn't happen. So now I'm hoping for Paul Johnson to Michigan. Give me Paul Johnson to the Michigan Panthers, and New Orleans Breakers to get Ed Orgeron and Les Miles on the same staff.
Beautiful.
All right.
The league's been pretty tight lipped. Like, we have no idea who was, you know, applying or who they're potentially looking at.
I've heard Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher. Come on. Really?
What are you talking about? You got a Jeff Fisher mustache going right now.
I look like Jeff Fisher right now, but I can coach better than him.
I think Jeff Fisher would be all right. Right.
He is a well-known
any
commodity.
Coach that coached with Buddy Ryan. I'm a fan of.
I'm going to guess who goes 500
ranch. He's been sitting on his ranch in Wyoming or Montana for the last like 5 years. Grant, yeah. If he comes back, his team's going 500. Good call, Betty.
Hey, either way, it'll be entertaining. I'd be happy with Jeff Fisher, but I do want Paul Johnson, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles ahead of him. And you want to throw out any other names that you're hoping get, you know, to end up with that job? I know Art Briles was mentioned.
You know, Jeff Fisher was a damn good coach in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nick's giving Jeff Fisher a hard time.
He did not keep up with the times. He did not keep up with well, maybe, offense coming to the forefront.
Maybe 5 years. Well, look, I don't want offense to come to the forefront in the USFL. I want defense to. All right. And Jeff Fisher was a coach with Buddy Ryan. So maybe he brings in that 46 defense and they start kicking ass in the USFL.
Six straight losing seasons to end his career.
He had a long leash.
I thought he was one of the most overrated coaches towards the end of his career. And I don't think I'm alone in that sentiment.
Clearly you are right.
Any other coaches though, that you guys think would be good fits for, I mean, I know we mentioned Art Briles.
I mean, June Jones.
Yeah, June Jones. Now that he's not going to Hawaii, that would be one that would be perfect in New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have a little fun down there with the Breakers.
And look, this is a guy who's got USFL experience. He was a coach of the Houston Gamblers and the Denver Gold.
He knows what he's working with here.
And look,
he would fit very well with those helmets and those uniforms also.
Yes, yes, and yes.
That like passing attack, that pro style. Aired out, air raidish.
Yeah,
you know, it's not based on intimidation.
Yeah,
it's based on finesse, and those helmets are full of finesse.
That's true. They should come on USFL. Listen to us, please. that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. I still want Paul Johnson to the Michigan Panthers, though, or John Gruden, John
or
Gruden,
Glanville,
Jerry Glanville. Jerry sure, Glanville. Sure, yep. Jerry Glanville. We are always pro Glanville, friend of the program. Him and June Jones have been on the show. Been on our show at Sports Gambling Podcast. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, so Mike Pereira was on a podcast. He was giving out some of their rules that they will have. And I kind of like it. Roughing the passer, hit on defenseless receiver will be reviewable, which I think is great because so many times we see just awful roughing the passer calls. I remember, I think it was the Ravens Dolphins game this year, where Lamar Jackson just barely gets touched and they caught a roughing the passer. Absolutely horrible. It makes the sport disgusting to me. You should be able to hit the quarterback unless it's something ridiculously late. I like that. And same with the defenseless receiver play. What do you make of that, Petty C?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, the closer we can bring the sport back to where it was before, like the NFL decided that it needed to play the PR game super closely. Yeah. Then we're going to have a better product straight up.
Yeah. Nick, what do you make of it?
I guess for me, it's TBD. Yeah. Just cause they review it doesn't mean they're going to be less careful or less protective of quarterbacks and receivers. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing because yeah, I think sometimes you watch the replay and you're like, oh my God, you know, the guy like, you know, flicked him in his helmet with his middle finger and they call it a penalty, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it's a good thing, but I still want to see, ultimately it's going to come from the top down, whether or not they're going to extremely protect offensive players or not. And that's yet to be determined.
And this one I love though, pass interference will be a 15 yard penalty if the spot of the foul was over 15 yards.
Assuming that the guy doesn't outright tackle him. If the guy intentionally pass interferes, I think it'll remain a spot foul.
Yeah. It says DPI will be a spot of the foul penalty over 15 yards if the defender deliberately tackles the receiver. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think that's improved. I think it's better than the NFL already then.
Yeah.
It's bringing a lot of judgment calls in. Like what is deliberately? I mean, you know,
I agree with you. Although I think that, Incidental pass interference should not be a 50-yard penalty.
Yes.
You know,
we saw it annoying. In that what was the Raiders game? I think it was the Raiders Chargers game, perhaps. I think it was there where Zay Jones, I mean, just an awful, awful pass interference call that got the Raiders a touchdown.
Yeah.
And this is one I'm curious. I want them to move the ball back to actually have kickoffs.
Well, hold on. Before we go there, let's talk about this pass interference, because we all have been watching NFL for long enough where we remember back in the day when it was a 15-yard penalty. And at that time, I think a lot of people were arguing that it shouldn't be just a 15.
I don't even remember that.
No. You're talking. I don't think it wasn't NFL. 15 then. No. I don't.
NFL was a 15. NFL back in the day was not you get it at the point of the foul. That was a rule change. Like, I don't know. I'm just throwing somebody random out there, like mid 90s or early 90s or something like that. Before it was a 15-yard penalty. It was not at the spot of the foul. And at the time, a lot of people like complained because of there was like just like blatant. Look it up, Patty.
1977 or 82. I'm sorry, I can't find the exact date, but it's one of those two that it looked like it became a spot foul. Maybe 1984. Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of numbers around here floating around that I can't look up fast.
I don't remember that.
Am I mistaken? I thought in the 80s it was a 15 yarder and not a spot foul.
Well, I just know in college football, and I thought college football's pass interference rules have long been better. Now I'll say this: the NFL's pass interference rules didn't bother me that much in the 80s or 90s because they let the cornerbacks be physical.
Yeah,
I would love to see that again. I hate them rewarding the offense so much, but I think it's a good start. I think it's a good start for the league. It's promising to me.
Agreed.
But let's talk about this though. We still want to be able to see the kickoff, not that shitty XFL kickoff that I think is terrible. And I don't like to see the NFL's one where most of them kick it deep and it's out of the end zone. Bring it back to where it was. And another thing is, I don't think you should start at the 25. I think you should start at the 20. Reward defense. It used to be that way. Reward defense. Any other rule changes that you want to see? The crackback block. I wanted them to get rid of that shit.
I don't know what you guys thought of those. The divisional weekend of championships was amazing because we had new teams and because there was high drama, but I would be lying if I said, oh my gosh, every game came down to the wire. Maybe it feels like a little bit of this is like, you know, fixed, you know, by the NFL and the officials wanting, and especially when you hear the announcers being like, oh, after Travis Kelce scores the touchdown and it's clearly a touchdown and they're just trying to draw it out. Like, I don't know if he scored. I don't know. Wait till after the commercial break to find out. And it's just like, okay, rather than them trying to draw out the drama, I would rather have them create like turnovers on defense that create touchdowns and like not have it always be a 2 minute drill. The final
2 minutes of that Chiefs Bills game, which I know got unbelievable ratings and it was entertaining. It was entertaining, but the fact is I would rather see some good defense. That Tyreek Hill play was terrible defense. Even the strategy down the stretch, I don't know.
It's just there's too many 2 minute drills. There's too much offense. The defense is always the afterthought in the game. I would rather see some more balance. Right,
guys, you're fighting an uphill battle because so many people enjoyed that. I kind of agree. I thought, like, come on, somebody play some defense. This is ridiculous. If it's really just like last person with the ball wins, that, you know, play a little bit of defense. I like some offense, but I don't like games in the 40s, you know?
Yeah.
But the Packers might be the minority. Okay.
The Packers, the Packers Niners game was like the most perfect game this weekend to me. Special teams touchdown, the difference maker in the game.
Colby. But how many people are talking about that game and how many people are talking about KC Buffalo?
You know what that is though? That's fantasy football.
A billion motherfuckers watch soccer. Okay. That can be a 1-0 game and people are wildly entertained. You know, you're still going to, these guys are making quadrillions of dollars on a 1-0 game. People can tolerate it.
It's a good point.
Okay. So those are any other rule changes that you guys want to see? Get rid of the crackback block because I think that's terrible. I like being able to block if you reverse your field.
Yeah.
You
know how about apply this like logic to the game and then all rules follow. It's a contact sport. People are going to get hit, you know, and accept that and then apply that to every single situation. Oh, crackback block. Oh yeah. It's a contact sport. People get hit. Yes. Yeah. Let's allow that.
The AAF I thought did a decent job of that. Brian Woods was involved with the AAF. He's involved with the he's the main ingredient, I think, in the USFL coming to light. Hopefully we have the same rules there, because I thought they were letting hitting go.
This was in the
AAF.
AAF, yeah.
So for me, it's not a rule change, but maybe we can move on to the next topic. And I just threw out on our Slack channel. Meanwhile, people should go on our Slack. That's for sure. Yes, Colby can tell you how to
Slack Sports Gambling Podcast. We have a USFL channel. We have a college basketball, college football, and if anything you could think of, really, go do that. Well, what were you saying?
So the first matchup's been mentioned: New Jersey versus Birmingham, Mike Riley versus Skip Holtz. I just threw out there for shits and giggles. I said Birmingham -3.5. And I got a lot of pushback, you know, from some of the, you know, our sharps here that know a lot about spring football. And they were like, whoa, hold on. Mike Riley, much better coach than Skip Holtz.
Whoa, is that true though?
I don't know. I was trying to defend Skip. Well, and, you know, Birmingham's at home. Granted, like every game's there, but at least they don't have to travel for it. I mean, obviously.
Well, the fans are going to be there right for him, though. The fans are going to be Birmingham fans. So,
can I be honest?
Yeah.
Whoever the fuck is as sharp at this point is a fucking moron.
But I will say this, man. I had a great record ATS in the XFL in that short season that we had. Okay. I had a great record in the AAF.
Okay.
So maybe I'm going to go ahead and say that I am a sharp. I analyze the rosters and I make my picks.
We don't have rosters right now, so it's really just for fun.
But Riley's had success. He was coaching the World League. He's coaching the AAF. He's coaching the CFL. He's had more experience at a professional level. And the San Diego Chargers.
And that's why our guys were favoring that side and said they would take 3.5 all day.
We'll see who the rosters are before I.
you can't bet on this yet, can you?
No, it's not out there yet. It's not out there yet. I don't think it's coming.
We just got the head coach. No coordinators. No nothing.
It's coming.
But in D-Gen Nation, you can make a bet on this.
Well, what line would you throw out there? Because apparently my line was off.
Wait, it's Birmingham versus. I don't even.
It's in Birmingham. They're taking on the New Jersey Generals.
Home field advantage.
Nick, did you say the Philadelphia Stars? I think it's the New Jersey Generals that are playing.
It's Jersey.
Okay. I think I'm gonna lay 2.5. I'm gonna lay 2.5 with the Stallions. ECU, baby.
Bet your fucking rent on that one, folks.
Do I need to play this for Skip Holtz? All right. Do I need to? There we go. All right. Well, look, we're going to bring you more information. I'm going to have more guests on, a lot of big time USFL guys going to come on the show and talk with us more stuff. So it's going to be fun. We will have you covered on the USFL Gambling Podcast. So subscribe, tell a friend, and give us a follow on Twitter @GamblingUSFL. Yes, brand new feed. Give it a follow @GamblingUSFL. And I'm @TheColbyD on Twitter. Patty C's on Twitter @PattyC831. NC Nick's on Twitter @NC_NICK. The Sports Gambling Podcast is on Twitter @TheSGP Network. Give them all a follow. Get that SGPN app, because guess what? When April 16th comes and USFL games are kicking off, all of our picks are going to be available on the SGPN app. And even right now, there's already articles. XFL Jim wrote an article about the USFL. I know we got other guys that are going to be writing articles as well about the USFL. So you'll get all that for free on the SGPN app, which is free to download in the App Store and Google Play Store. So go ahead and do that and subscribe, tell a friend, and let's do this. Let's kick some ass. All right. I can't believe the USFL is actually back. I just can't believe it. Woo. There we go. All right, folks, this is the USFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours, and we out of here.